Good morning. This is Steve Taylor, and I'm very thankful to have this opportunity to share God's Word with you this morning. I invite you to just grab a cup of coffee or whatever that you prefer and just sit and share God's Word with me this morning for just a little while. The message I have in my heart and the presentation of it is a little bit different from what I normally do, but I pray that the Lord will add His blessings to the word that He would give me to speak, and that it would be a blessing to you in some way, form, or fashion. In the book of Matthew, chapter 9, some words that I remember reading early as I would begin to study God's Word and think upon these words in a way of wondering what meaning does it have for me? When we study God's Word, I think that's the proper way to go about it is, Lord, what are you saying to me? And how do I go about implementing your direction for my life into my everyday life? And I want to share some things with you this morning that I pray will be of benefit, of help, and of instruction for us in doing God's will in our lives. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, are the words of Jesus that he spoke to his disciples after he had gone through a time of busyness, being busy about doing the things that he came to do, preaching and teaching and healing and all of those things that he had came to do as he made his way toward the cross for the ultimate work that he came to do of redemption. But after he had gone through a period of time where the multitude had come to him and he was performing those miracles upon them, said that Jesus then saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I do pray that the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning as we think upon these things and see what God would have to say to us this morning concerning these words. The harvest is plenteous. In another place he'd say, look out upon the fields, they are white, ready to harvest. I believe that there are so many of God's little children that are in the world today that are seeking and searching and longing and needing and wanting to find contentment, fulfillment, to find peace and find joy in their lives, and they're looking in all the wrong places when all of that is found in Jesus Christ. And so the laborers that are few, Jesus says, pray that there'll be more laborers that will enter into the field to work this great harvest that has been prepared by God Himself. And I would read that early on in my studies and wonder, what does that mean for me? What are you saying to me in those words? Am I to be a laborer? And if I am to be a laborer, how do I go about being that worker that you would have me to be? Well, am I a laborer? I think that the Apostle Paul answers that in Ephesians 2 and verse 10 when he said, for we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So am I a laborer? Am I a worker in the field? Well, yes. If I am his workmanship, then I am created to do a work or to do a labor. If you are his workmanship, then you have been created to do these good works that God has ordained that we should walk in them. And so the answer, twofold answer there is, one is that, yes, we are his workmanship. Yes, we have been created for a purpose. And that purpose is to honor our Lord. Back in chapter 1 of Ephesians, says that we are to be to the praise of His glory. So as we walk in these good works that God has ordained that we should walk in them, we are being laborers in the field or workers in the field. And so the next question then would be, how do I go about doing that? How do I go about being to the praise and the honor and the glory of our Lord? How do I go about being an example of what God has called me to be? Well, I go back to the book of Matthew now. And there's several people in chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew, well, throughout the book of Matthew, but this morning we'll concentrate on chapters 8 and 9. There are several examples of there where that people have been touched by the work of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, and to see what their response to that was. And I realized the last time that I submitted a message, I was in chapter 8, but I want to go back to that for just a moment. In chapter 8 and verses 1, 2, and 3, there was a leper that came to Jesus. So that he came to him and he worshiped him. And he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will." And he touched him, and he immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Well, that man was a part of the work that was white, ready to harvest. But then, after the harvesting, he was to become a workman in the field. So how did he go about doing those things that he was supposed to do? Well, I believe that from that moment on, after that he was touched by the grace of God, after he was healed of that leprosy, that his daily walk showed the difference. And his daily walk was the manner in which that he entered into that field that was ready to harvest. People knew this man, and they knew that he had had leprosy, and now they saw that he had been healed, he had been cleansed of that. And so every time that someone would approach him with that fresh new question of, "How did you get healed?" gave him an opportunity to say, "Jesus did it. Jesus touched me. Jesus healed me. Jesus cleansed me. Jesus made me whole." You see, our daily walk, our daily testimony as to what great things the Lord has done for us, that is the way in which that we can enter into that field that is ready to harvest, and we can begin to do the work that we've been created to do to honor Him. Jesus is the one. Jesus made a difference in my life. That's just one example. There's so many more that as we go through these two chapters. After that, in verses 7 and 8 of Matthew chapter 8, we see that there was the centurion who came to Jesus. His servant was sick of the palsy. And Jesus said, "I will come and I'll heal him." And that's when the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy of you to be in my house. I'm not worthy. But I know if you'll just speak the word, if you'll speak the word, I know that my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, you go home, and when you go home, you'll see that your servant has been healed as you believe. So as he goes in through there and he does these things, he sees that his servant has been healed. I personally believe that centurion from that day forward had a great testimony concerning the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, the power by which that Jesus was able to even just speak the word from a long distance. He didn't even have to be in the presence of the servant. All he did was speak the words. But that testimony that the centurion had was his way of entering into the field. So we are laborers in the field that's ready to harvest by our daily walk and by our talk. by giving honor and telling others what Jesus has done for us. This confession of faith concerning the work of Jesus Christ is our manner in which that we're in those fields, helping with the harvest, bringing in those that are looking and longing and needing and wanting something to make a difference in their life. Jesus can speak the word, and in speaking the word, your life can be changed. Your life can be made whole and made complete in Him. From that time, Jesus went from that point into the house of Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She was sick with a fever, and says that Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. And what did she do? She arose. This is chapter 8 of Matthew, and verse 15 said, she arose and ministered unto them. Sometimes we want Jesus to heal us. We want Jesus to help us. We want Jesus to increase our faith. But then we take that and we just sit back down, and it just is within us. But He's placed it within us that we might be able to help others, to minister unto others, take the strength that God has given to us to help others, to be a blessing. I remember one time I was early in my ministry. I was going into the hospital to visit with someone that was very sick. And I remember distinctly getting on the elevator, going up to the floor where her room was. And I remember praying as I got on the elevator, Lord, please bless me. I meant that prayer to say, bless me that I'll have the right words and I'll conduct myself in a manner that's right as I enter into that room. And very distinctly, very clearly, it wasn't an audible voice, but it spoke directly to my heart. After I said, Lord, please bless me, the answer that came to me was, be a blessing. There are blessings that we experience when we are blessings for others. She ministered unto them. She gave back unto the Lord those talents that she had. I can only imagine that she had some great culinary talents, and she probably got up and fixed them a delicious meal and made her home ready for them to dwell there for however long that they were to be there. It's just an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to see how that God will use us as He blesses us to be a blessing for others. Immediately after that, they brought to Him people that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word. And He healed those that were sick. He just continued to do those things. They came possessed, but they left whole. Again, their daily walk, their testimony, is a sense in which that when we experience the blessings of God, it behooves us to be that witness, to be that testimony of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. It's important for us to talk about what God has done for us, to share that with others as we go about those things that God has done for us. Going into chapter 9, we see that there was a man that was sick of the palsy that was carried into the place where that Jesus was there. As his friends brought him there, and I believe this is the one where that they cut a hole in the roof and they let him down in front of Jesus. And as he began to heal the man, he was carried in, but he walked out. The difference was Jesus. But not only did he have a testimony, but those four friends that brought him, they also had a testimony. We carried him in. We know he could not walk. But when he left there, he was walking full of strength, full of glory, full of the power of Jesus Christ that was bestowed upon him. As Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Again, our daily walk is the manner in which that we enter into that field that is white, ready for harvest. then in chapter 9, verse 9, we see that Jesus had an encounter with one, actually the man who wrote this book, Matthew. He wasn't sick. He didn't have the palsy. He wasn't blind. He wasn't deaf. He didn't have leprosy. But he was a publican. He was a man that was looked down upon by society because he was constantly requiring payment above and beyond even what the government was asking. Anything that he got above that, he kept for himself. Jesus walked up to him as he was seated there at the table where he was receiving the taxes from the people. Jesus looked at him and Jesus said, "Follow me." And we're told that immediately Matthew arose and followed Jesus. His focus was changed. You see, again, a way in which that we can be laborers in the field is by that our focus, we stay focused upon the very one who has made a difference. We follow Jesus. We follow him. Again, you know, I'll be honest with you. Back early on in my ministry, or in my beginning to study, and I'd read that, I would think, God, are you going to use me for some great thing? Well, the great thing that he uses us for is when he changes our life. He changes our focus. He changes our direction. He changes our ability. He brings us to that place where that our very desire is to honor him. And so Jesus gives to us the testimony, and we're to give that testimony to others. We're to share that one with others. One more that I want to share with you is concerning the woman who had the issue of blood. It's in chapter 9 of Matthew. She had this issue of blood, and she said within herself, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be made whole. If I could just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment." But everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd of people that would be around him waiting to see what he was going to do, what he was going to say, how he was going to conduct himself. But it says that she went through the press. She made her way through that crowd with her eyes on Jesus, with the intention of, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." It says that when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus stopped and he turned about to look at her. He knew. He looked at her and he said, "Who's touched me?" And his disciples said, "Master, all of these people are trying to get to you." But there was a way that this woman touched him that no other did in that crowd. She touched him with her faith. "I know if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. If I can just touch the sleeve of his robe, if I can just be that close to him, I know he's going to make a difference." She had tried everything, tried many physicians, and instead of getting better, she just grew worse and worse and worse for 12 years. But when Jesus turned him about and he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that very hour. And as she was made whole, again, how did she enter into the field ready to harvest? Well, when I go over to chapter 14 of Matthew, and the very last verse of chapter 14, Matthew 14 and verse 36, notice the wording. There were people that were brought to him with all manner of diseases. It says, "And they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment." I don't think I'm reading anything into this, but how did they know that if they only touched the hem of his garment, that they would be made whole? I'm not discounting the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to put that within him. Certainly he did that for the woman back in chapter 9. But I believe with all of my heart, I believe that those people that she knew, that they knew that she had been sick for all of those years, for 12 years, that she had a testimony. I just touched the hem of his garment. His strength left and came into me just by touching the hem of his garment. And the word began to spread and spread and spread. It's the ripple effect. We never know how many people are ultimately going to be affected by our testimony if we'll just give it, if we'll just share it. This is what Jesus has done for me. And then that person would tell someone else, I know someone who touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. Then they would tell someone else. And by chapter 14 and verse 36, it said, when they brought this multitude to Jesus, they besought him that they would just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment. You see how that ripple effect was a manner in which that they entered into those fields that were ready to harvest, and their faith shared with someone else increased their faith. We don't hear about this as often as when I was growing up, but the church I grew up in, we used to have testimony time. Time when people would share what great things God had done in their life, and there was great rejoicing and great encouragement, and it would increase the faith. It would build up the faith of others to know if Jesus did that for them, then he can do this for me. How do we go about being a worker in the field? Well, I believe it is by being who we've been called to be. Workmen. His workmanship. Showing forth his glory in our lives. Praising him. I close this morning in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 4. Written 700 years before the day of Jesus. But it says, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. That's how we go about being workers in the field. We praise him. We audibly praise him. Our voices lifting up saying, praise the Lord. We call upon his name. I want to share one more real quick example with you. When I was a young teenage boy, I was at the home of my best friend, and we were out in the yard passing the football back and forth, and his father was in the little tool shed there working on a lawnmower, and I could tell he was getting his father was getting a little bit frustrated there. He had a rusty bolt that he couldn't get loose, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but He never had an idea. I wish I had told him, but he never had an idea what an impact this had on a young teenage boy. I listened to him as he was in there, where so many people would just grumble and complain and maybe even put out a little curse word. He was struggling with that rusty bolt, and he said, Lord, help me loosen this bolt. And just within a minute or so, I heard him say, thank you, Lord. He was a worker in the field on that lawnmower, and he had no idea that there was one who was white, ready to harvest, that was listening to him. And I carry that with me to this very day, that in those things and situations that seemingly that I can't complete on my own, Lord, please help me. Please help me. And then make mention that his name is exalted to say, thank you, Lord. You helped me to do this. I honor you. I praise you. May the Lord help us to be more aware of every situation and circumstance where we have the privilege and opportunity to be a workman in the field that's already made white to harvest by the power of God, but that we make mention that his name is exalted. May God bless you is my prayer. Thank you so much for this time.